Grace and peace from our God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ be unto you. Amen. As announced earlier, today's sermon was prepared by Pastor Rogel, which I will read to you. The title of our message for this morning is My Gift for You, based on Ephesians 3, verses 2 to 3. What's the best gift that you have ever received? A bike from your mom and dad? Your first car? A favorite shirt or sports jersey? Maybe even a Trevor Linden jersey? A surprise weekend getaway? Or maybe like Clark Griswold in the movie Christmas Vacation, a one-year membership to the Jelly of the Month Club? As Randy Quaid said in the movie, Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving all year long. My all-time favorite gift was this great little drum from The Muppets. If any of you remember The Muppets, the drum, it had an animal on the cover of it. I gave it all to do my best animal drummer impersonation when I got the drum just this past Christmas. I mean about 30 Christmases ago. But the thing about giving that amazes me is the gift probably says even more about the giver than the receiver. Sure, if all you're asking for is stuff from SpongeBob SquarePants or movies or Canucks stuff, it says a lot about what the receiver is really passionate about. But depending on the gift, you also learn a lot about the giver. If the giver gives a present that makes the receiver happy, you know they not only cared enough to get the receiver something. They also cared enough to know what would bring the other person joy. In other words, even as much as we need these things, they didn't just go out and get a package of socks or underwear. No. They gave them the animal drum set. Yet there's another way of giving that goes beyond even knowing what present would bring another person joy. It's a gift that's been given to give. It's something that is as much a joy for another person to give away again as it was to receive it in the first place. I think that's what Apostle Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Christians who live in Ephesus. In Ephesians 3, verse 2, he says, Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. Let me read that one more time. Paul says, Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. If anyone could talk about receiving incredible gifts, it was certainly Paul. But before he was going around telling everyone about the amazingly free gift of God in the love of Jesus Christ, he was taking up strong position against Christians, taking Christians to jail, and even taking up stones in his hand to kill them. But then, one day, Paul received an amazing gift, a visit from Jesus. Instead of wrapping up Paul in this visit with beautiful paper and with the loving embrace of a well-placed bow, Paul was confronted, blinded, and fearful for his life. Yet what happened next is beyond incredible. The man who was used to taking was given a most incredible gift, faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and being baptized into the Lord's name. God had poured out the wonderful mysteries of his love for Paul and for all of his creation into this little man. God had given his love to Paul to give. And give he did as a missionary to people who had no clue about God's love for them, to people near and to people far away. God gave so that Paul would give, so that one day our Lord's love would be given to you. I know St. Paul didn't necessarily have Trinity Lutheran Church in mind when he gave to the people in Ephesus, but you most certainly are the result of his giving. You are part of the legacy of love Paul has left behind, and that's just the kind of giving legacy the Lord has intended for you. Not me, you say. You don't know how my family had been completely messed up. You don't know how I've given myself away to things that can't satisfy me. You don't know how I hit rock bottom and I can't do anything. You don't know how I don't have anything to say, to do, or to give that would make a difference. If you ever thought that, I have good news for you. No matter where you've been, what you've done, how much you have gone through, there is a wonderful gift that has been given to you. And it's been given to you by the loving, outstretched hands of your Heavenly Father, which are so closely wrapped around you. His love has been given to you to give. And I don't think St. Paul would mind one bit if we would take his line from Ephesians 3 to use for our own lives, saying, "Surely you have heard and seen the wonder of God's undeserved love given to me for you." I'm sure I've heard of it, you say. As you volunteer at school, as you sit in your office at work, as you drive on your way to the hockey game, as you talk with your friends at school, as you give back to the food pantry here in town, as you visit those who are in prison, as you kneel before bed to pray, as you get to know your neighbors, and as you give to those who are in need. You are in the right place at the right time with more than enough of God's love for you to give because of what you've been given. Ultimately, what we want and what God wants is for His wonderful word and gift in your baptism to cause your life to overflow in giving like you've never given before. God wants you to give and to give until you give yourself away. So when you ask, "How is my world, my country, my community, my church, my neighborhood, my family better because of me?" then you can say, "Surely, you know the wonder of God's grace given to me for you." Like St. Paul, never meeting you in person, you will probably never meet many of the people that our Lord will bring to faith in Christ in Richmond over the generations to come. Yet one day when Jesus returns, you will see your Savior face to face. And as you kneel before the Lord among the thousands of thousands from every tribe, race, and nation under heaven, our prayer is that somewhere in that great crowd of witnesses, there will be people from Richmond and many others, along with their families, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and many more, because they gave, because someone gave to them, because you gave to people right here in Richmond, leaving behind a legacy of love and of giving. As we end our time together today, I want to say a prayer for you that Paul prayed for the Christians in Ephesians at the end of chapter 3. Please pray with me. Father, our magnificent Father, who give us out all heaven and earth, I ask you to strengthen those wonderful people by your Spirit. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in them as they give, as they have been given to. And I ask you that with both feet planted firmly on love, they will be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love, to reach out and experience the breadth, to test its length, to plumb the depths, to rise to the heights, and to live full lives, full in the fullness of God. Help them to know you can do anything they know, far more than they could ever imagine or guess or request in their wildest dreams. Do this work, loving Father, not by pushing us around, but by working within us, your Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to you, O God, in the church. Glory to you, O God, in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generation. Glory through all ages. In Jesus' name, amen.